It is a great privilege to be here in the Lord's house with you dear people on the Lord's Day in this church, which is the very first church of the Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm humbled by that. I never really thought about ever being in this place and having the opportunity to bring God's Word in the congregation that was the founding congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church. The Lord has blessed this denomination greatly to myself and to my family. And by the grace of God and the help of God, I hope to share some of that with you. Now, the brethren laid it on my heart that the people would like to know as much as possible about me, about the ministry in the Czech Republic. And my ministry, the ministry the Lord has called us to, it is the Lord's work. I don't want to focus anything on myself. I had a message prepared. I've been around a few churches this week. I've been at the Week of Prayer. And I've had the opportunity to visit a few churches and give a report. I've been giving this report in different churches. It's been a bit different each time. But on the Lord's Day, I had more of a typical, I don't know if that's the right word, a message, a structured, proper message for the Lord's Day. But the challenge is, and that's a very difficult thing, being somewhere for the first time, to give the opportunity for people to know more about the work, about myself, and incorporate the Word of God in it all, or it should be the other way around, base all of that on the Word of God. And I trust that the reports I give are like that, that the glory is to the Lord and the focus is upon the Lord. Even as I was thinking what the brethren told me just before I came up here, I thought I will really have to give more of that report and maybe highlight a few things from the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. Let me start at the very beginning. I will just say what my name is. It's Milos Scholz. My surname is German, but the spelling of my surname is Czech. The Czech phonetics is different, and so it doesn't look anything like Scholz. It looks more like Solk. So don't you worry if you pronounce my name wrong. It really is no matter. I'm very thankful that my wife can be here with me and our youngest son. My wife's name is Martina, and our youngest boy's name is Levi. The Lord gave him to us really unexpectedly, I have to say. It was only when we came to the Czech Republic. It was in very difficult circumstances. We had four children before him, so he's our fifth child. But I pray that the Lord will do a mighty work in his life and use him, even in the extension of his kingdom. We have five children. The oldest one is Milos as well. You will find out a little more about even that name. I've been named after my grandfather, and I named him after his great-grandfather, who was a mighty man of God in our land. His testimony had a huge impact on my life, and I believe that will be an encouragement in the faith to you when you hear some things, how the Lord worked in his life and how his life affected my life and the life of those around him, the life of his children. My oldest boy is 22 years old. Then we have a daughter, Abigail. We have one girl, Abigail. She's going to be 20 in a couple of months. And then we have a Timothy, he is 16, and then we have a Caleb, he's 14, and Levi is 8. Five children. I come from a minister's home. I was born into a pastor's home. My father was a Baptist minister, and his father, my grandfather, was a Baptist minister in Czechoslovakia. But in 1981... the Lord called my father to a work in Toronto, Canada. And that is why I speak English. It's Canadian English. I lived most of my life in Canada. That's really home for me when it comes to what I experienced as a boy. I was 8 years old when we came to Canada, and I spent almost 30 years in Canada. So I grew up, I got married, married my wife, began working. I was a teacher, I finished my studies at the University of Toronto, and the Lord brought me to the Whitfield Christian School, which was a ministry of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. That's how I was introduced to the Free Church. And this is how the Lord redirected our life, so that one day, 11 years later, He would call us back home to our native land to stand against our former denomination. I will give you more of that background, and I trust that it would be a challenge to you and to our denomination today, that we would remain on those old paths and on the good way, where there is the blessing of God, the rest for your souls. It's nowhere else. It's in the only way, the biblical way, biblical Christianity, rooted and built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation, the rock. Let me read from the Word of God just a couple of portions of Scripture. First of all, from Ezekiel 3, verse 17. This was our call to our native land. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. The whole chapter is very significant. The whole chapter was our call. That's the way we look upon it. But verse 17 is really a key verse in this portion. In many ways, it summarizes what this chapter is all about. It is right in the middle of the chapter. And we read in the Word of God, reading in Jesus' name, Ezekiel 3:17, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." And if you could also turn to 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and the verses 7, 8, well, we actually, verse 8 and 9, the beginning of verse 9, so 8 and 9. We'll just read these one and a half verses. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." I'll just read up to that portion, that section, "steadfast in the faith." May the Lord bless the reading of His holy, infallible, inerrant, unchangeable, eternal Word. As I indicated in the beginning, I do not want this to be just a report of some happenings in the Czech Republic and in my life. I want the glory to go to the Lord, and I want to challenge the Lord's people to be sober, vigilant, steadfast in the faith. We need to be thus in these days. God's people need to be thus in every day, every time. But our concern must be our own time, the time, such a time as this that the Lord has called us to. these times of great declension. And dear people, there is great declension. That's why I say, be sober. Be vigilant. Don't just sit back and think, I'll coast along in my Christian life. There is no such thing as coasting in the Christian life. The Bible never says, coast toward the mark. Press on. Press on. You know, if you are on a bicycle and you are just going on level ground and you stop pedaling, you can coast along for a while. But as soon as you stop pedaling, the bicycle starts to slow down immediately. And it will come to a stop. We need to be pressing on the upward way. Pressing on to the high calling of God. Pressing on to the kingdom of God. On to glory. Living in light to the glory of God. We need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contending, it's a warring, it's a battling, a fighting. Many Christians today don't know anything about that. But not so our forefathers. When we went out to the Czech Republic, our family hymn, we took it as a hymn, in which we went forward to face the foe. And it's Isaac Watt's great hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And in these verses, listen to the words of this man of God of the past. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Flowery beds of ease for many Christians today? That's the way they imagine things. But it's never like that. That's a deception. If we think, oh, things are just easy, it's a deception of the devil. If he can just lull us to sleep, that's when he will strike. Watts goes on to say, are there no foes for me to face? Are there no foes? Oh yes, there are foes. The whole of the world resisting the Lord Jesus Christ, your foe. No time for God, no time for His things. Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace? These are all questions. Is this vile world a friend to grace? No, it is not. To help me onto God? The world helping you onto God? No, it is not. And dear people, we are fighting. Every church of every age fights worldliness creeping in to the Lord's people, into the midst of the Lord's people. You examine your own lives. Where are your desires? Are they truly after the things of God? Easygoing Christianity. That reminds me of, I have a note here from a different message. I read C.T. Studd's biography, and it was written by one of his son-in-laws, Norman Grubb. I think many people would know that biography. It is the biography. And another of his son-in-laws wrote the foreword. His name was Alfred Buxton. He was a co-worker, co-laborer with C.T. Studd. The Lord gave him two dear son-in-laws, men of God. I'm not surprised, though, when I read what Buxton writes about his father-in-law. He writes this, C.T. Studd's son-in-law. He writes, Siti's life stands as some rugged Gibraltar, a sign to all succeeding generations that it is worthwhile to lose all this world can offer and stake everything on the world to come. Now, those were the great men of God and women of God. Stake everything on the world to come. His life will be an eternal rebuke to easygoing Christianity. Now, that is mighty. What is your Christianity like? If it is like that of the majority, it is exactly that. It's exactly that. Easygoing. Not so C.T. Studd. Buxton goes on to write, he has demonstrated what it means to follow Christ without counting the cost and without looking back. Willingness to risk all for Christ. I know what he means. And I pray that I would do the same. And with a fear of God, I say, that's my desire. To risk all for Christ. We've done it with our children. And brethren, the Lord does exceeding abundantly. We risk everything with our children's education. We decided to homeschool. My wife we never thought of doing something like that. The schools are so wicked in our country. We came, the children didn't know the language too well. Many challenges. Our life was upside down when we came to the Czech Republic. It's now 9.5 years ago. And especially with our older two children, they weren't on the map in terms of the Ministry of Education in the Czech Republic at all. We didn't know what would come of it, because these days, if you don't have any paperwork, then you're nothing. But I told my children, the older two children, if the Lord wants you to continue in your studies, He's going to open the way. If not, He's going to provide some job for you and you'll work. But brethren, I cannot go into this whole story. The Lord did so exceeding abundantly. It would be hard to explain everything. I would have to speak about only the whole story of how the Lord worked things out after 7-8 years of being in the Czech Republic for my daughter and my son. They are both at university now. My daughter made it to the most sought after medical faculty in our country. I hadn't an inkling of her studying medicine. I say all these things. The Lord can do anything. The Lord can do anything. She's studying at Charles University. I don't know if you know much of our history, but John Huss, he was a famous reformer before the time of Luther, 100 years before Luther. He was burned at the stake in 1415. That's exactly 600 years ago. Well, a couple of years ago was exactly 600 years ago. And John Huss was the dean of the theological faculty of the Charles University. It is one of the older universities in the world. Our daughter got into that university. We never sought that. But in our country, people view education as the most important thing. It's an idol. They scoffed at the whole idea of us teaching children at home. How is that going to work? What about the sciences? Are you equipped to teach all of those subjects? Brethren, my daughter did mostly self-study. I was a little bit of a guide. But to get into the medical faculty, she had to pass all the sciences. Entrance examinations, not pass. She had to excel in the sciences. So chemistry, physics, biology. That was the entrance examination. 3,000 applicants, top students in the country, 192 taken. I don't even know how she did it. Well, I do know. The Lord did it. I say all these things to encourage you. Risk all, just like Buxton said, risk all for the Lord. What a testimony this man gives of his father-in-law. And if you're going to be a man of faith and a woman of faith, you will encourage faith. You will attract faith and encourage faith in others. The Lord does that. The Lord does that. May we take a hold of all of these great truths in the Word of God. May they encourage us in our lives, in the strength of God, through Christ, in Christ. That is the only way. It's not going to be of us. But the Lord, as we look to the gospel, look to the Lord Jesus, He pours out His Spirit upon us, and He is going to work in our lives. If we glory in the cross, if we glory in the things of the cross, the Lord is going to work in our lives. He is going to work in our lives. If we believe His Word, if we obey His Word, the Lord is going to do mighty things. Mighty things. I can testify of that in my own life. So undeserving as to what the Lord has done for us. I can testify of that in the life of my father and my grandfather. Let me now just share a few things from my own testimony and how the Lord called us and why He called us to the Czech Republic. I said my grandfather was an unusual... I said he was a mighty man, but he was a very unusual man. He was a man who was one of the best professional tennis players in the world in the 1930s. His testimony is in many ways similar to the famous Billy Sunday. But I suppose because my grandfather was from a non-English speaking land, his testimony is just not really known. But his testimony is marvelous. He was a man who, when he was a 10-year-old boy, their family ended up with nothing. They weren't believers. They were ignorant of the things of God. Father started to drink. Family ended up on the street. They had nothing. My grandfather and his brother fought to survive. There were a few other siblings, but he had a brother quite close to him. They were scrappers. They lived in the slums. You wouldn't survive if you weren't made of steel. And there was a ministry to those people. There would be some believers that would come and minister. And his mother got saved. Eventually, my grandfather was saved. Although he fought God. He fought God because he saw the evil. And then he saw great wealth. I can't give the whole background, but the Lord worked this in his life. He became, like I said, one of the best professional tennis players in the world in that time period. And the professionals would coach the nobility, the wealthy. I don't know if you know a small country in Europe, it's very wealthy, called Liechtenstein. Liechtenstein, it's near Switzerland. Well, the Liechtensteins were one of the richest families in Europe, and they had many palaces in, back then, Czechoslovakia, now it's the Czech Republic. My grandfather was their personal coach, the personal coach of the Liechtensteins. He lived in the palace when he was a young man. And he struggled to come to terms with a loving God, a merciful God, gracious God. And the great evil he saw and poverty in the life he grew up in. And then he would see on the other side great wealth and riches. And he just thought it was not right and not just. But then the Lord smote him and crushed him. Showed him that he was an undeserving sinner, as you and I are. And changed his life. The man was a dynamite. I'll give you a few examples. It'll give you some idea. He was like a Dr. Paisley, very much like that man. He was like the famous W.P. Nicholson. I know some things. I read his biography. That was a mighty man, unusual man. My grandfather's stature was more like Nicholson's. He was not a very tall man, but he was built like a brick. And he was a very physical man and no nonsense. The Lord used his witness mightily in his home, in our lives, in my life. I'll give you an example of a situation which had a great impact in my life. He was taking us around with my brother. I have a brother, one younger brother. He's only a year and a half younger, so very similar age. I was about 19 years old, and my brother was 18 or 17 and a half. And we spent one summer with my grandfather traveling. At that time, we both played competitive tennis. I say this about sports. Be careful, dear people. I am no... Sports is an idol to people. It's a god. And so, that being said, we did play competitive tennis, and I would probably not do certain things now. I would certainly not do certain things now. But we were going around with my grandfather, and on one occasion we stopped at a restaurant midweek. We were just in our traveling clothes. It's important to say this because it'll help you understand the picture in the restaurant. We weren't dressed in suits, just casual clothes, traveling. And a waitress comes up, must have been about 20 years old, just a little older than we were, and asked if we would have anything to drink. Well, my grandfather was a man who was in charge, so we were just waiting until he would say what he would say. And he said something that you would never think of. If you thought of a million things that he could say, you would never think of this. I never knew what to expect from him. I also say, if you were not saved, and I was saved, I was saved as a boy, and the Lord was working in my heart. But if you weren't saved, you would have a miserable time being with that man. Miserable time. You'd be praying all the time. You'd be talking about the things of God all the time. There's hardly anything else said. You'd get in the car, you'd pray. I'd pray. I was usually driving at that time. My brother would pray, and then my grandfather would pray for the rest of the journey. Hour, 1 hour. That's the way he was. Well, we came into the restaurant, and the girl asks the question if we would have anything to drink, and my grandfather says, exactly what I say to you now, except it was in Czech. But in Czech it is also four words. We three, there were three of us, are priests. Now, you'll probably have to think about that for a minute. I certainly have to think about this. I just stopped and wondered what was up my grandfather's sleeve now. Well, you know, the Bible says we are kings and priests unto God. The saints of God are kings and priests unto God. No more of the Levitical priesthood. The priesthood of all the saints. My grandfather, he was a man of the Bible. And he liked to shock people. He said this. So the girl was completely stunned. Because if a 19-year-old young man, like I said, didn't look anything like a priest, 17-year-old, an 80-year-old man, she was looking us up and down, couldn't figure it out. Frozen. My grandfather was completely unfazed, as those types of men usually are. And he said, after he let the phrase sink in a bit, he said, did you hear anyone pray before? Well, the girl stuttered out, and no. Like I said, my name is Milos, and it's a Czech name. And the next thing my grandfather says is, Milosh, begin. I was 19 years old, sitting in that restaurant. I think at this point many people are listening in. It's not exactly pleasant when people are watching, and as you know, talking about the things of God, the world is no friend to grace. But the Lord confronted me at that time. I remember this now. I am going to be 46 this year, 27 years ago. And there was a flash of thoughts that ran through my mind all in a few seconds, because I had no time to wait. But I had a few seconds, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Milosh, maybe there's a John here, Peter, Paul, you say you love me. You say you know me. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. And I can testify to this day, and by the grace of God, I was glad to pray. I was glad to pray. I gave a short testimony of the saving faith of God in my life, being forgiven my sins, washed of my sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Him, thanking the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him dying for me on the cross. I might have prayed 45 seconds, I don't know, 1 minute. I kept it short. I knew I couldn't pray for 10 minutes because the woman had a job to do and I didn't want to put her out of her place. Well, I finish. My brother's name is David. My grandfather doesn't even blink an eye. Says, David, continue. And then he prayed. All of us prayed. I'll tell you, that woman, I am sure, never forgot that experience in her life. I do not doubt that. I certainly haven't forgotten. I don't think anybody would forget that. That was the type of man he was. He was a mighty warrior of the Lord. He was one of the most well-known ministers. The Lord called him into the ministry. He became a Baptist minister of the main Baptist church in Prague. And he was a great influence in our land. Say one other example, he would often take ministers up to his cottage in the mountains, and they'd be going up these treacherous roads, severe drop-offs. And my grandfather, he was a very animated man. He would spend more time with his hands off the steering wheel than on the steering wheel. And he'd be looking back to the back seat and just going on about the things of God. Well, that made the other ministers very nervous, because windy roads and your car comes off, it's over. Well, there were a number of occasions, and this was said at his funeral by some ministers. My grandfather died in 2006, I think the end of 2006, or the beginning of 2007, and he was 95 years old. And there were many ministers that attended the funeral service. I was there as well. I flew in from Canada. And they gave testimony of the impact he had on their life. So some of them mentioned this. When this happened, this driving on these treacherous roads, the ministers sometimes were just in panic, grabbed the steering wheel when they thought he just wasn't paying any attention. And my grandfather would laugh. This is what the ministers said at his funeral. He would just smile and say, "Well now, brethren, you spend your lives speaking of the kingdom of God, of eternity. And now when you're close, you're nervous." That was the type of man he was. Just mind on the things of God, nothing else mattered. He had a few bad accidents too. But he meant business with God. Nevertheless, in our country, I realized much later that there was great ignorance in many areas of doctrine, many areas of ecumenism, association with different bodies, different churches, organizations. And the Lord showed these things to me because of the Free Church. The Lord providentially brought us to the Free Church through the school ministry in Toronto. I did not even desire to teach at the school. I didn't know anything about the school. I say all this because God providentially moved in that whole matter. I was trying to avoid the school. I'll say why. We lived on the other side of the city. It was about 100 kilometers, 60 miles away. And we had one lady in our church who had her children in the school. And I have to say, she kept after me. I was looking for a position at that time. She wanted my resume so that she could submit it to the school. Well, I thought, I can't move all the way out there. Wasn't interested. But finally, just to get her off my case, I gave her this resume, and then I forgot about it. I received a phone call, the last weekend before school began. Nobody hires teachers 2 days before school. At that point, it was in 1997, my father, when communism fell in our country, felt that he should return back and preach the gospel in his native land. He went back, he was back, and he thought, the Lord is closing doors for you, there's such a need in this country, you should go back and go into the ministry here. Well, we were only a couple of weeks from going back in 1997. That's now over 20 years ago. And 1 minute to midnight, the Lord stopped us and brought us to the Free Church. If I just simplify it, that's what happened. I came to the school. The school at that point was being run right out of the church. We didn't have a school building. The church had a big building, and there were rooms where you could have some classes. I started to read the literature in the church. I was brought up in a conservative way, a biblical way. As things started to go down in our denomination, I was an elder in our church at that time already, because I was very involved in the work, in the ministry. And the people nominated me and voted for me to go into the eldership. I was very involved in the Lord's work. So I was very interested in this denomination I knew nothing about. Just because I was in the things of God, I was interested to find out more. I started to read material. And I realized the Free Church was right about many things of association, of separation. Then I started to learn more about Reformed doctrine. Didn't know much of it at all. Very much in the dark. Covenant theology. The theology of the Bible. And the Lord started to work away in my heart and in our hearts with my wife. It was only a few years later that we left my family denomination. And you can imagine what, I suppose, if you just enter into it, you can imagine what that was like, because we weren't just some nominal members. We were from a leading family in the denomination for 70 years, something like that. That's the whole length of our Free Presbyterian Church denomination. It'll be 70 years very soon. And I stepped out. I was an elder. There were meetings in our church because of it, because I had to resign. And I had several different posts, and so We had a congregational meeting because of it. I stood in front of the church. That's maybe 15 years or 16 years ago now. And people gave me questions. What's this all about? My father at that point was in the Czech Republic. I didn't tell him anything. We already were clashing on various things that I knew were wrong. And I would say that to him. I know the lonely stand the people of God took in this place almost 70 years ago. What that cost people, I know little of it, but I can imagine. I can imagine. About a month later, I received a letter from my father. A very negative letter. A scathing letter. I said in other places that it was so bad, I decided not to keep it. After a few weeks, I thought it's best I just destroy that letter. It would just feed bitterness. I destroyed it. I have to leave that with the Lord. Sometimes I thought I shouldn't have destroyed it because I think my father forgot some of the things he wrote in it. Now, it wasn't the only letter I received from him. I kept another one. I have one, which was also very negative and very negative towards our denomination here. And yet my dad's heart would be very much for what we stand for. But when you're in a compromised work, you fight against rebuke. Nobody likes that. Maybe somebody will not like some things I say here today. The only reason you'll not like it is because you're fighting God. We left our denomination at a great cost. And for 11 years we were in the Toronto school ministry and the church ministry, and the Lord was working on us. And as we would go to visit the Czech Republic, my wife's family is also from there, and so maybe every couple of years, not very often, but we would go back and we'd visit some churches, and I would often speak in some church. We were so grieved at the state of the church, so burdened. The Lord gave us a great burden for the work there. But a burden is not a call. It's a burden, and you can have a burden, and the Lord will work in your life, and you pray for that matter, and you seek the Lord in that matter, but you need more guidance. Well, the Lord did, after many years, give us a clear word. It was from Ezekiel 3. We read that chapter. We read the one verse from the chapter, but I'll take you back to this chapter. In Ezekiel 3, if we look at, and you can look at it in your own Bible, Ezekiel 3, in verse 4 and following, we read, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me." Now, twice the Lord says here about a people of a strange speech and a strange language. But they are not of a strange speech and of a strange language unto thee. In the Czech Republic, people speak Czech. A completely different language. It's not easy for me to make the transition back now to English because I preach in Czech. And with the Lord's help, I've been able to brush up on the Czech and continue to improve. And my Czech is, by the grace of God, quite good. People are surprised, actually, how well I speak. But that's mostly because my parents really insisted that at home we speak Czech. And I read quite a bit in Czech. I read the Bible in Czech for a long time. So that was a great help. And the Lord knew why He preserved it. I had no idea. But because I ended up speaking mostly English most of my life, and obviously I was a teacher, so you do a lot of speaking, and all in English. But there's a different language. Nevertheless, it's not, it would be a strange speech to you. It's not strange to me. The Lord called us with my wife independently of one another, and I thank the Lord for that, because that the Lord gave her a call as well. That she received a word for herself, and I marvel at how the Lord did it. And again I say, if you seek the Lord in your life, the Lord will guide you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. Brethren, how do you know the Lord is leading you? How do you know? I'll tell you what. The only way you can be sure the Lord is leading you, if you are following on with God and seeking Him. You just have to trust He's leading, and He will lead you. But many people think that the Lord leads them. Oh, I prayed about this, and the Lord showed us to do such and such a thing. And I'll tell you what. They're not right. They're not right. I can tell them that. You know, several instances just recently where, sadly, I could say, I don't believe that. How do you know? How do you know? We're at the mercy of God. Oh, people think the Lord is leading them sometimes. But if they're not obedient to the Lord, if they are not going on with God, they cannot expect the Lord to be guiding them. No, the Lord, yes, if they're saved, the Lord will deal with them. But as they wander off in one direction or in the other direction, they'll be burned. They'll suffer some consequences. The Lord, in His mercy, will not let them sink and die. They'll be chastised. That's a mercy of God. But those people don't realize, they don't know, they think they're doing fine. I don't know where you stand today. I have a fear of God. I pray that the Lord would keep us humble and seeking Him, because we don't deserve anything. But the Lord is faithful, and He leads His people. He helps them. He blesses them. The Lord gave us a very clear call, and I thank the Lord how He did it. My wife was reading through Bible, a yearly reading plan. In October of 2006, she was in this portion. The Lord struck her with this word. I had no idea. I had no idea at all. I didn't know where she was in her Bible, what she was reading. I was not in that portion at all. But we went to a week of meetings. And I again say, being in the Lord's house. The Lord leads His people. Being where you should be. I hope you attend the prayer meeting. You should be in the prayer meeting. The midweek meeting. You want to know the Lord's blessing? You don't go to the prayer meeting. You don't bring your children to the prayer meeting. Don't be surprised when things don't go right. I was brought to the prayer meeting my whole life. I brought our children to the prayer meeting. Every meeting we could go to. Now, I know there are some exceptions. But the Lord knows your heart. Nobody's going to mock God. No man will deceive the Lord. He knows. He knows where your heart is. We were attending meetings. It was in the Port Hope Church. I think some of you would know the Reverend Cranston. I think certainly some of the older people would know him well. A mighty man of God, faithful minister. Held meetings in October. It was in his little church in Port Hope, Ontario. It was quite a drive for us to go there. I don't know, maybe 45 minutes. I was teaching every day. You know how it is when you have children at that point. We had four children, some of them quite small. You're going to be getting to bed quite late, getting up early in the morning to school. Well, what's more important? What's more important? My children are not rested. They'll not be able to function in school. Well, I don't. Will they be able to function or not? I don't care. God first. I have to say that. We went to all the meetings. You get home, it was around 11 usually. All the children fell asleep in the car. I had to sit in the driveway with my wife for 5-10 minutes just to get the strength, just to get myself ready for the job of carrying them one by one into the house, changing them into their pajamas and trying to brush their teeth a bit. And that was another hour's worth of work. Well, that happened that day. The Lord spoke to us in the message that was preached. It was a Tuesday. I don't remember the exact date. I have it written down somewhere. Tuesday in October 2006. The Lord spoke to us. The hymn at the closing of the meeting was "Above Thine Own Ambitions Here." We have it in our hymn book. And in the car, there was no talking. The Lord brought to my mind this portion of Scripture. It was Ezekiel 3. But I didn't remember all of the verses in this context. We just read some of those verses of a strange speech in a strange language. I didn't know that until I got home. We put the children to bed. It was probably close to midnight. I went into my study, opened the Bible, looked up the portion, started to read, and the Lord just smote me when I read what I read, because the Lord called me in that meeting. I knew. This was not preached on, though. But the Lord brought this portion to my mind. I came home, I opened the Bible, I read it, and I was smitten by the Lord. I'm going into the bedroom with the Bible open, and my wife told me, this is how the Lord works, 2 days ago, two days before that, she said to me, I need to speak to you about something, but it's not a 1 minute thing or 5 minute thing. Just when we have some time, like to sit down with you. I had no idea what it was about. No idea. I said, that's fine. Well, I had it in my mind, but we didn't. I said, we had these meetings. You come home from school, quickly get a bite to eat. You're off to the meeting. I come into the bedroom with this portion. I already told you. She was in that reading. That's what she wanted to speak to me about. The Lord gave that portion to her a couple of days earlier, but didn't let her tell me until I came to her with that word. Isn't that amazing? I know these things are very personal. It's between you and God. It's hard to describe. But you know. You will know when the Lord speaks to you. Oh, I am more sure of that call. I've said this before. Than my own name. Brethren, I thank the Lord. Where would I be without that call? When you're in a work for almost 10 years, you had worked with some people, you had a small band of people, and 4 years later, they all just up and leave. Because of, actually it was my own father's influence. Got to know some of them, and very sad. I'm not saying he did that intentionally, but that's what happened. You know, people like the easy road. That's just the way it is. Many other trials, difficulties, challenges. We have not gone under the radar. People know us because of my name. We're on sermon audio. People do listen. We're thankful. The Lord has the people who make contact with us, but there are also many accusations, many attacks on the stand of the free church, what we stand for. Or just extremists. Anything that's biblical these days is just too much for people. I have to say, although they don't think that, but it is. Where would we be without that call? Well, we wouldn't continue on. We just would not. But the Lord gave us His Word. Another very interesting thing that happened at that time, just 2 months later, and it was in January 2007, so just a couple of months after, my grandfather died. The Lord closed a chapter in our family history. I took a note of that. I marked that. His desire, it will sound strange, but men of God, mighty men of God, thought a bit differently. His desire was that the Lord would call him home into glory when he was preaching. Now, I thought of that and I thought I'd be sorry for the congregation if their minister would collapse in the pulpit and die. That's the way my grandfather imagined it. That did not happen. But his son preached. And my grandfather told him, it was actually my father has one brother, so it wasn't my father. My uncle was visiting Prague, preaching that Sunday. He's a minister. And both of my grandfather's sons were ministers. And my grandfather told him in the morning that was his last day. The Lord was calling him home. And he died in the evening. How he knew, I've never heard anything more about that. But the Lord just maybe gave him a word and he was sure. And his son preached on Ezekiel 3:17. I took a note of that. Nobody knew anything about our call of that. Not for another year probably. Oh, the Lord does unusual things. I knew that was for me. Just finding out these things. The Lord leads His people. He guides His people. He will lead you. He will lead you. I know my time is coming to a close. I think you're getting the picture of the type of ministry it is. Our heart's desire is that there would be a faithful work of God in that land that would stand against all apostasy, all compromise, all ungodliness, ecumenism, antinomianism, and that's a thing that people fight. The law of God. The law of God. There's much said these days about Christian liberty and legalism, and people mix things up. The law of God stands as our rule of life. The holy moral law, the Ten Commandments, stands. The Scripture says that over and over again. In Romans, we read that justification, end of Romans 3, establishes the law. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all the law, and the law was established. Because the law stands. He had to fulfill the law for us. He had to satisfy the demands of the law. And His righteousness is imputed unto us. We're made righteous by imputation. But how? Because He was righteous. The holy, the law of God is holy. Dear Christian, what does liberty mean to you? Christian liberty is a liberty to obey the law, to live for the glory of God. It's not a license to sin, dear people. That's the way some people think. That's so wicked. Antinomianism teaches that we can serve apart from the law or God's revealed will. You can be saved without repentance or submission to Christ. That's false. And legalism teaches that you are saved by your works, and that these works are what make you accepted. That's heresy. Both are errors that will destroy the soul. And I say both. And both will produce an unbiblical life or ministry. It's false. We stand for the doctrines of free grace, justification by faith, faith alone. But these things, when the Lord saves a soul, regenerates a soul, there is a new desire, and it's a desire for the things of God. It's a desire to go on with God. The Apostle Paul says he had a desire in the inward man after the law of God. He delighted in the inward man after the law of God. That is the way it has to be. Dear young person, if you're here, what do you have a desire for? What is the attraction for you? What attracts you? Different things in the world? Have you taken your eyes, if you have professed faith in the Lord, have you taken your eyes off of the Lord? And you're attracted by something else? Oh, call unto God today that He would draw you back to Himself, that you would have things in the right place in your life. God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's the holiness of life. God's righteousness. The holy law. It's the outflow. To obey God's law. I'm not sure if you know the famous Rabbi Duncan, a Scottish Presbyterian. He said to obey God's law is to be like God. Aren't we supposed to be like God? Be holy, for I am holy. What is holiness? The holy law of God. Oh, don't let anybody deceive you that it's not important anymore. We're free. Liberty. The Christian liberty is a liberty to obey the Lord's law, to live for His glory. It's a light based on the Bible. Doesn't that make perfect sense? It just shows how people, when things are not right, how foolish they are. How foolish. And then they have no power of God in their lives, no blessing. They sometimes convince themselves they do, but you watch their lives. It's trouble. Sooner or later, you watch it. It's going to be trouble. May the Lord help us to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I close with these words. I know I've been long. Stay the course. Be ye sober and vigilant. Steadfast in the faith. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For such ones shall never be moved, the Word of God tells us. Never be moved. But the only way you will be able to do this is if you are in Christ. I don't know if you know Him today. Maybe you've put on a show for many years. We can do that sort of thing. Grow up in a Christian home and you do all the right things. You can be far from God. If you don't know Him today, call unto Him today. He's mighty to save. He can save you today. Now, confess your sin unto Him. Your hypocrisy, your falseness. Ask the Lord to save you by the power of His blood, the cleansing of His blood. The only way you'll be able to live for God is if you are in Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, looking daily unto Him, pressing on, as I said at the beginning, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Our testimony must be like Paul's. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And all the glory belongs to Him and Him alone in our lives. May His name be exalted in our midst today. Look unto Him today for all things, and He will guide you, and your life will be a life of blessing, a life of experiencing God's power. And we need that. The Spirit of God will be ministered unto you as you believe the gospel, and the Lord will lead you. May the Lord Write these words upon our hearts. Bless His word unto our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.